Welcome to I'm a Public Health Professional, Get Me Out of Here. Now take a look out of the window. Are you staring at wall-to-wall traffic or a nice view of the countryside? Recently, members of the government's own Environmental Audit Committee made the logical recommendation that it's not a good idea to build new residential homes, hospitals and schools in areas where there is wall-to-wall traffic and pollution levels to match. Unfortunately, this week, the Coalition, in their infinite wisdom, decided to completely ignore what the committee, which consists of representatives from all major parties, had told them. Quite why is hard to work out. They certainly wound up committee chair Joan Whalley, who said coalition ministers had once again failed to face up to the problem of air pollution and instead passed the buck on to the next government. A very controlled response when you consider the actual wording of the government's refusal to accept the committee's concerns about building in pollution hotspots. And I quote, "For school buildings, reference is made to Building Bulletin 101, Ventilation of School Buildings, which recognises that filters are often fitted to mechanical ventilation systems and can provide cleaner air, but are only effective at dealing with the pollutants they are designed for and need to be replaced or cleaned regularly." Oh, sorry, that was a moment's silence while I got my jaw off the carpet. So let's get this right. What ministers are saying is, it doesn't matter how bad the air is outside, we just need bigger and better filters to keep it all out of our buildings. The fact that in order to get to school in the first place, kids have to walk, cycle, or sit in the car, breathing in the outside air, and perhaps they might actually want to venture outside their sealed little bubble to play with their mates, or heaven forbid, take part in a bit of physical exercise, seems to have completely escaped the attention of our country's leaders. If this wasn't a podcast, words would fail me. Interesting, in the same week, Spanish scientists released results from a year-long study of primary school children which showed kids in areas where air pollution is poor develop slower than those in cleaner areas. The study looked at 39 schools involving 2,715 children over the course of a year, concluding that findings suggest that the developing brain may be vulnerable to traffic-related air pollution well into middle childhood. Conclusion that has implications for the design of air pollution regulations and for the location of new schools. If there wasn't enough pressure on the government to take action on poor air quality, things are likely to get a whole lot worse on April the 16th when the Supreme Court will hear a case brought against them by environmental organisation Client Earth over the UK's failure to meet EU pollution limits. In the words of Joan Whalley, "We've been warning that urgent action is needed for the last 5 years, and while this government has accepted there is a problem, it's repeatedly failed to take the tough decisions necessary to sort it out." There's an old joke in my hometown that people who work in a local pharmaceutical factory are so healthy that when they sneeze, they cure three people. Now, though, fast food giant McDonald's has made the decision to reduce the use of antibiotics in its chicken products. The company will stop using those which can have an effect on human health, but continue to use those which are aimed at animal welfare. Many poultry producers give their birds antibiotics to make them grow faster, but overuse of the drugs could lead to them becoming less effective in treating illness and disease in humans. Of course, your poultry may eventually be free of antibiotics, but it seems there's got to be a way to go until we manage to produce chickens free of contamination with Campylobacter. Third quarter results from the Food Standard Agency's Campylobacter survey still shows that 73% of the birds tested are contaminated. Tesco were the only major retailer whose results were below the industry average. Final report from the FSA is due out in May. We said noise can make you deaf. According to a new report from the World Health Organization, over a billion teenagers and young people could be in danger of suffering irreversible hearing loss caused by listening to music with headphones or at entertainment venues. Researchers said 50% of 12 to 35-year-olds have been exposed to excessive levels of noise. Launching World Ear Care Day with their Make Listening Safe campaign, WHO recommends that young people should take listening breaks, consider using personal audio devices for no more than 1 hour a day and may use of technology, including apps and noise-cancelling headphones, to reduce levels. Loud music in cars. Loud music in cars. Every day, every place I go. In future, GBs may be prescribing a new boiler instead of a course of tablets after Energy Secretary Ed Davey pledged £3 million in funding in preparation for a national programme which will see GBs prescribe boilers, insulation and double glazing to people in fuel poverty. Initial work will begin on developing systems which will make it easier for doctors to decide whether patients need home improvements. Introduced as part of the government's fuel poverty strategy, the scheme is set to have the full back of Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt. Mr. Davey said this week, "Why hasn't this been done before? I'm absolutely furious that people have not done this before." Well, wasn't for want of trying it. 5 years ago, a group of local government officers, of which I was one, asked your government for some funding. Guess what the answer was? Yes, no. Making me absolutely furious as well. Finally this week, what's in your dustbin? Well, our bet would be a good amount of food waste. After a report from RAP, the government's waste advisers admitted that a third of the world's food ends up as waste, costing a staggering £259 billion a year. In the UK, recent data shows that 7 million tonnes of food went to waste in 2012, giving rise to 17 million tonnes of CO2 emissions alone. The 7 million tonnes of food waste, by the way, is enough to fill Wembley Stadium nine times over and represents 19% by weight of all food bought into the home. Of this total, it's thought 4.2 million tonnes, or 60%, is totally avoidable. Avoidable food waste would have been edible at some point prior to being thrown away, for example, slices of bread, apples, yogurts, and things generally beyond the date stamping. A greater understanding of food labelling would definitely help, with most people unsure of the difference between use-by dates, which indicate food safety, as opposed to best before dates that indicate food quality. If you consume something beyond its use by, it could make you ill. Generally, if you consume something beyond its best before, it just won't be in the prime quality the manufacturer intended. RAP found that just under half of avoidable food waste worth $5.6 billion was classified as not used in time or thrown away because it had either gone off or passed the date on the packaging. Amongst all the bad news, though, there is still a positive trend, with the amount of waste having reduced by 15% in the last 5 years. That's good news for everyone, and much lighter bins, which is the best excuse I could find for leaving you with this. See you in a fortnight.
Now here's a little story. To tell it is a must. About an unsung hero that moves away a dust. Some people make a fortune, others earn a mint. My old man don't earn much. In fact, he's flipping skint. Oh, my old man's a dustman. He wears a dustman's hat. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flat. He looks a proper nana in his great big gobnail boots. He's got such a job to pull them up, but he calls them Daisy Roots.
I'm a public health professional. Get me out of here. It's written, produced and presented by Pete Hill. All opinions are personal and do not relate to any other body. This podcast is protected by a Creative Commons license. Any unauthorised reproduction for commercial gain is strictly prohibited.
He wears a dustman's hats. He wears gold blimey trousers and he lives in the council flats. Next time you see a dustman looking all pale and sad, don't kick him in the dustbin. It might be my...